Gil, when you want to listen to the No Chill podcast, where do you go?
Himalaya.
There it is. Download the Himalaya app for exclusive first access. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love, like ours, and some future favorites. If you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters, like us. Love. With Himalaya's tip jar. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and they're adding cool new features every single day. So go to the App Store, download Himalaya, we'll spell it for you even, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A. And don't forget to follow the No Chill Podcast when you're there.
Of course.
Of course. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we explore a theory of Gilbert's about point guards. We look back at the championship team since Michael Jordan's Bulls won their first in 1991. That's after Magic and after Isaiah. As Gil points out, point guards on these teams were not the top assist guys. Across the board, they were expected to bring the ball up the floor, defend their position, and hit spot-up shots. Sure, there have been star point guards that have won rings, from Jason Kidd and Gary Payton to Chauncey Billups and Tony Parker. But at those points in their respective careers, they were not expected to create shots for teammates they were facilitating. It's a hell of a theory, and Agent Zero digs in on this one. So let's get into it and run back through some NBA history. It's a No Chill Podcast. As always, you can get us early, exclusively on the Himalaya app. You can find us wherever you get your podcast, and be sure to watch on the No Chill channel on YouTube. Yo, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to make you a GM of a team.
Okay.
Imagine that.
That's not far-fetched.
Okay. I would love to see that someday, actually. You would turn the NBA on its head in a lot of ways. So you have the first pick. What type of player would you draft?
I mean, it depends on what I'm looking for. But if you're talking about in this year's draft, probably just a natural scorer, you know, I mean, just a natural guy who can get his own bucket, you know.
For what reason? What are you thinking long term?
That he can create his own basket. You know, you can find role players, you know, everywhere, you know, but a guy who can generate, you know, offense, you know, in a half court without, you know, there's no black and white calls, you know, you just, hey, break the offense, do what you need to do.
1-4 flat.
Yeah, just whatever. But so you need a guy who can just create his own.
So out of this year's group, obviously Zion, everyone's in love with Zion. Mm-hmm. The dunks, the explosiveness, freak athleticism. But really what we've seen lately in the tournament, and if you follow college basketball season, two guys, Ja Morant, Murray State, and Zion's teammate, RJ Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
So guys that, like you said, like you'd be looking for, can create their own shot. He also, Ja averages 10 assists a game,
mm-hmm.
you know, so he's creating for others. RJ, you know, obviously with that high power team at Duke, 4 assists a game, not as many assists. But mm-hmm. Out of those two, who do you like better?
Out of those two, like if I was drafting for my team, I would look at who has the biggest upside. So, you know, you got one guy that's 6'3", create his own shot, averages 10 assists. And then you got a guy who's 6'7". Who can go from the 1 and the 2. So, you know, out of one player, I get 2. And because I've done a theory on point guards, you know, point guards who look to pass, that they can't win championships. So I will go with RJ Barrett.
You can't win championships if you look to pass. Why is that?
Because my theory is, if you're doing your job correctly, you're making your teammates better. You're getting shots for other people. That means they're actually not that good because they can't create their own shots. So I said this once, and everyone's like, that's you're bullshit, you blah, blah, blah. You know, because I think Magic Johnson, I think the idea of what Magic was confused a lot of people. It's like, we need a pure point, someone who can dish and that, but they didn't tell you that he was a small forward, and they had two guards that played with him.
Right, Magic was Magic, one and only.
But he was a small forward. I mean, he was a point forward.
6'9".
Yeah, he was a point forward. But you also had two guards there. Like when he first came in the league, he had Norm Nixon, mm-hmm. who averaged 9-10 assists also. They got rid of Norm and realized we don't need two people doing the same thing. So if you take Magic Johnson out, you know, and you do the list, which I did to come up with my theory, you realize pure points, guys who look to make people better, don't win championships.
How far back did you go?
I went the last 28 years.
Okay.
28 championships, basically. You know, I started it at the last 26 championships, and
Jordan,
it's evolved.
Right.
Jordan, yeah. From
so, Jordan. Because Jordan, I mean, that's the other thing that I think he showed in that era. It was like, you need a big man, and championship teams don't have a center.
It wasn't necessarily big man. It was necessarily a go-to guy. You got to remember, Magic is the one who brung in the ideal of pure point. Bob Cousy and them, remember, they had people to defer to. So you didn't really, you know, but today's game, the last 28 years, your pure point is basically irrelevant if you're trying to win a championship.
Man, now you got me thinking. 28 years. I mean, so names like John Stockton come to mind. Well, Gary Payton, who did win one in Miami, but like, oh, Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, okay, so somebody like Chauncey, he's considered a pure point, right? The best player on the team. Like, there's factors. You got to remember, if your point guard is averaging 10, 11, 12, 12 assists, you know, that means he's actually the best player on the team. So with Chauncey Billups, you got a guy, he only averaged, what, 5 assists. He wasn't a high, you know, you had other players who created their own shots. You had Rip Hamilton, who can score on his own. Tayshaun Prince, who can score on his own. Then you had Rasheed Wallace, who can score on his own. So Chauncey Billups wasn't really sitting there trying to get these guys open looks. They're just, we're in the offense, we pass it, everyone scores. I'll take the big shots at the end.
I was going to say, for Chauncey, though, that's where he sort of compensated for that shot creation for other players was he was a shot maker.
Yeah, he was just a shot maker. He was just a scorer in that offense. And because he played the point, you know, like I said, he averaged 5.
Someone's got to bring the ball up.
He averaged 5.7 assists. That's not considered a point guard, a pure point. Mm-hmm. There's only 3 pure point guards that won championships.
In the past 28 years, okay.
Yeah, so you're going to
with him.
Okay, you're going to have the first one was basically Avery Johnson.
Okay.
Short season, 50 games. He had David Robinson, double-double, and Tim Duncan, double-double that year. You know, he averaged 7.4 assists a game. He's considered a pure point, but obviously he's not even the fourth best player on that team. But
yeah, at that time, the other guy they had, Sean Elliott.
Yeah, so, you know, you don't have a guy who's actually controlling your team. He's just the point at that point. Second was you have Jason Kidd.
Okay.
So Jason Kidd has the highest for a point guard at 8.2. Well, I mean, consider who Jason Kidd was at that moment in time.
Right,
in
2011
Dallas.
Jason Kidd was different from the one
before.
What, yeah, you know, Dallas, so, the first go-around, or Jersey Jason Kidd.
Yeah, so you have a guy who's on the end of his legs, who's only playing 33 minutes, who averages 8.2 assists. But when the playoff time came, Terry and J.J. Barrera are the ones who carried that team into a championship. But if you go by the theory, he is the second point guard, which he wasn't close to the best player or the second or the third best player on that team. You know, so he is not dominating like a pure point would if they were, say a Chris Paul or John Stockton or Steve Nash.
Yeah.
You know, then your third point guard would be pure, that who's passed first. You'll say Rondo.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, but
he had to, with those three vets, he had to pass remember, first.
But Rondo averaged 5 assists. He wasn't the Rondo we all know now. Mm-hmm. You remember, that was the second year Rondo. They didn't want him. They didn't think with him being a point guard that they can carry this team into a championship. This is the whole reason that he actually doesn't like half the players now.
I remember the expectations for Rondo, and also a guy like Mario Chalmers was kind of like, you're going to defer to these superstars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's this big three era. Bring the ball up the court.
Yeah, and that's basically what he did. He averaged 5 assists. He didn't turn into Rondo that we fell in love with until that whole team got hurt and him and Rose hit that playoff series where there was basically double-double, triple-double. That's when Rondo became Rondo, and that following year, we seen Rondo.
You know, funny thing is, though, back to this theory was when they broke up the big three in Boston, Rondo was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they you would think would have built that team around Rondo.
Yeah, but you're building a team around a guy who's, that's what I said, if he's the best player on a team, that means your team is not good.
Right.
And that's what my numbers say, that you build this team, you go from Tony Parker, you know, you got 6.1, you know, obviously, you know, you got Tim Duncan down there, you got a big man. So, you know, if you have a dominant big man, your point guard is not really getting a lot of assists. So, you know, when, you know, players like Shaq, you know, so if you have a dominant guy on your team and he's not the point, then your point guard is not playing point guard. Like, you got your Derek Fishers, sit in the corner, shoot the threes. Mario Chalmers, play defense. Ron Harper, play some defense.
I was going to say, who really started that, though?
Huh?
The triangle with the Bulls.
The Bulls. I mean, the Bulls showed you that you didn't really need a guy bringing up the ball, you know, trying to make everyone better.
You know, needed talent at the two and the three.
Two, three, four, five. Four. You need dominant players.
Well, the Bulls didn't really have talent.
But guess what I mean? If your point guard is the dominant player, but he's a passer, averaging 10, 15 assists, your team is not winning. It's not possible because you don't have a dominant guy that he has to pass the ball to because he's creating every play. You know, even with somebody like Jason Williams, you know, a pass
Heat first. Jason Williams.
Yeah, Heat Jason Williams, you know, white chocolate. Well, it's Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal time, you know, so you're really just like Gary Payton at that point, just play defense, spot up, and we'll get you when we get you. There's no really, you're not controlling this basketball.
It's hard to do that with a young guy, though, to tell them just spot up and play defense. Because, like, we're talking back to Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett. We want to see them before. It's because I'm thinking of Lonzo.
Yeah,
like, wouldn't that be what Lonzo should
be? Like Lonzo. Like,
you
got to remember, the more assists Lonzo creates for others, the worse the team really is, in theory, of talent.
Because you want him to take over.
Because if he's taking over, you got to remember, if he's doing his job, that means he's getting players open looks, just free baskets. That means not one of those guys can create their own free basket because somebody like Chris Paul now with James Harden, how many assists does Chris Paul give to James Harden? How many assists of Chris Paul's come from James Harden? None.
None.
So the two guard doesn't actually need you. That scoring guy doesn't need a point guard. Just give me the ball.
So what is Chris Paul's role in Houston? In your mind, back to GM.
You can't take away what Chris Paul is. He's a creator. You know, you want the ball in his hands. But at the end of the day, if you go by what the stats say, what the theory says, that as long as he's doing his job, your team has no chance. So in theory, you had a better chance winning the championship with someone like Patrick Beverley. Because he's going to hit the corner shot. He's not touching the ball, really. He's playing defense. That's mostly all these guys. Ron Harper, you know, you got John Paxson, B.J. Armstrong, Derek Fisher, Shaw. I mean, that's what these guys were. Mario Chalmers. And then you're going to have someone like Steph, where his first championship.
I was getting to that.
Oh, his first championship, you know, he averages 7.7.
He's pretty elite, though.
But with him, is his primary is scoring. And because of the team they had, it's easier for him to get assists just by playing basketball. You know, the second two championships, he averaging 6 and 6. Draymond's averaging 7 and 7. You know, so it, you know, like after the first one, you know, you beat the odds because your team, you had good teammates. You know, you had Clay, you had Draymond, you had great role players. Your bench was amazing that year. The second year, you get KD. So now you have guys who can create their own shots. So now you're just playing basketball. You become more of a scorer. Draymond becomes more of the passer. So if you look at most of these assist guys, like you got Kenny Smith and all that, the person who led the team in assists is like Robert Horry. You don't got to remember. At three assists, someone else is passing his ball besides the point guard. You know, you're going to have.
And I think that's it. Ball movement. When you look at these great teams, championship-winning teams, they were unselfish and they moved the ball around. So they don't need one guy to just move it for everyone.
One guy is
quarterback back there.
But got to remember, the main guy who has the ball, his first option is scoring, is usually going to have assists. But here, you know, you got some. You're going to have Ron Harper, you know. Robert Horry, the Bulls. You're going to have probably Scottie Pippen.
But how this past 28 years has evolved to what we are now with a super team.
What is a super team?
The Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, they're just playing. You have three guys on that team that are mega stars.
Right.
So you got three guys who can create their own shots. You don't need a point guard. So none of them needs to play point guard.
Because you know they're going to play unselfishly. They're going to just being just.
I got
and
three.
They can all create.
I got three stars with me. I pass. I can just throw the ball in the air. One of them is going to hit a shot. You know. So it's like. But when you think about Klay Thompson, KD, Curry, you're talking about the three best shooters probably in basketball, top five in history, and there's only 7 and 6 assists out of two players. I mean, you know, if Alonzo Ball went there, you would assume that the motherfucker probably averaged 20 assists with those three guys on his team. You know, so, you know, they're just ball movement is just being open gets them that assist. But that's more Draymond Green's roles. He's more of the point forward on this team, and the rest of the guys are just scoring machines.
And you know he's not going to shoot.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I said. So he sacrifices.
And don't forget, the big man they got can score too.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Your point guard is not dictating this game. Mm-hmm. Your point guard, your pure point, your in today's game, your Chris Pauls, your John Walls, I mean, your Rondos, your
there aren't as many in today's game.
I mean, any guy, your Russell Westbrook. You got to remember, if 8.2 is the leader.
He's his own category.
But I'm just saying, if 8.2 assists is the top dog, then the higher you get in assist chart as a guard, the less likely you're going to win a championship. So you can, if you was a gambling man.
Yeah, but what if you average a triple-double?
What is that triple? If you're averaging a triple-double, that means your team is not that good. If you're averaging 10 assists, the rest of the players aren't that good. You got to remember, you can't average 10 assists with someone that's dominant. Like, there's a dominant force. Like if you have Kobe on your team, you're not averaging 10 assists with Kobe on your team. You're not averaging 10 assists with Michael Jordan on your team, or Tim Duncan, or Shaq, or LeBron. You're just not. That's just
because those guys will create for themselves.
Because give me the ball, move out of the way. Let me be dominant. Mm-hmm. If I get doubled or tripled, and I gotta pass it, I will. You know, Hakeem, you know, you can't be sitting there doing pick and roll and Steve Nashing it. It doesn't work. You get Steve Nash, like when Steve Nash came here, right? Even though his back was hurting at some point, he was no different. When it came to the game, he was no different than Steve Blake. You were actually better off with Steve Blake. Because in the corner.
That's what the reality was.
Sit the corner, shoot the three. I don't need you to sit there and do pick and roll. Kobe's waiting. Like, you're sitting there doing a pick and roll with Paul Gasol, but Dwight Howard's sitting on that block. You know? Like and the theory showed that year he didn't make MVP. You don't make the All-Star game the following year because you bring in Shaq. Now he's sitting on that block, and he just wants the ball. So your whole number's shut down because of just one player, a dominant player. Shaq comes down there and says, hey, come on, give me the ball. Now your assist goes lower because he needs the ball in the post. Your pick and roll doesn't really work because he's sitting on the block. He doesn't make the All-Star that year. Shaq leaves. Boom. Mm-hmm. Steve Nash is back to who he was. You know, so that's what I said. What makes these guys great is what stops them from winning and having a chance to win a championship.
And thinking about Chris Paul with going to Houston, I'm sure he knew that. He's playing with a ball-dominant player now. Because coming from Blake and DeAndre, he was creating for them, Lob City, all that, you know. And going to Houston with James, his numbers were going to tail off.
But they didn't. He still averages 10 assists, 9 assists. Because you got to remember, if you take Chris Paul and Harden out of the way, can that team really function and score points?
I would say no.
I mean, you have Gordon.
Harden?
You got Aaron Gordon who can score. You know, he can create his own shot. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we all know he's going to shoot a jumper. You know, so he's going to take 1-2 dribble, shoot that jumper. PJ Tucker, he's a corner guy. J.R. Green. He's going to just do floating threes, you know, catch and shoot floating threes. He's never going to use his athleticism to get to the basket. So he's irrelevant. You got Capella who he can't post up. So you can't just throw him the ball
and say,
get the ball. Like, I can't pass you and say, get buckets for me. So you got most of your team only function because you have passing guys. So now, if you take these passing guys out and say, you know what, let the rest of the team beat us, you can't.
No, that's a major drop off.
But that's why. if your best player is soaking up all these assists, making these guys look good, your team is really not that talented. You know, you're just not. You're so far behind. But no one's gonna know this until now. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's gonna really think about it until now. So you know, when they say Chauncey Billups, you're like 5.1. That's it. 5.1 assists. You know, Rondo, five also. You know, he wasn't Rondo yet.
Do you know what the hockey assist is?
Uh huh.
So I think that has become more of a common. It's not really a trackable stat, but a player that will set up another player didn't set up a play.
Yeah, but that comes from a dominant player passing the ball around, getting an open shot. But that becomes because of star player. You cannot not win without dominant players.
And you think of those, to me, what comes to mind are those San Antonio teams that move the ball so well. So you had guys like Parker, Ginobili, mm-hmm. Duncan, the Pistons too.
Yeah.
So because you knew Ben Wallace wasn't going to shoot.
Yeah, you know, what I'm saying. But you had your dominant players at certain times in the game, but that's what it was. You didn't have one guy trying to create every opportunity for everyone.
Because what is that? You're making the right basketball play.
Which one?
To make the extra pass to be unselfish.
No, but got to remember, a pure point, their job is to create basketball players just play basketball.
Sure.
So I can look, you can basically look at us, you can look at the starting five and look at a team and you can basically just fast forward who's going to be in a championship. Even if you took, let's say, Warriors out, you can just look at stats and say, all right, by individual, like everybody be like, Houston! Like, no.
Well, I got one for you, but before mm-hmm. we leave Houston, Chris Paul in the last four seasons in L.A., 10.7, 10.2, 10, and 9.2.
Yeah, and okay, I can tell you
then, that. Going to Houston, but I can his tell numbers you did drop off slightly. Well, 7.9.
Hurt.
8.2.
Hurt.
58 games, 52 games.
Yeah. But I can tell you, look, 10 point.
He was creating for
creating everyone.
His team. Right.
That this is because Blake Griffin don't know how to play in the post. Yeah. So Blake, because DeAndre, Blake Griffin sure. don't know how to
so
play in the post.
Houston 7.9, 8.2. Mm-hmm. James. But I got a guy for you. Kyrie. Needs to
Kyrie averaged 4.7 assists when he won championship.
I'm talking about this Boston version of Kyrie. Are they getting what they expected out of him?
No.
What do you want to see him do?
But you know what? I can't say no. They're not getting what they expected. They're not getting what I expected Kyrie was going to do. You know, like the year IT had there, that's what I thought Kyrie was. Because that's Kyrie's talent. You know, but when you break down, you know, Kyrie's ability, his ability is last 5 minutes. He is a juggernaut guy. He's a creator. He's a last 5 minute guy. And like he knows how to create offense from zero in small spaces. So if you're like LeBron, you need him. If you're Anthony Davis, you need him. If you're any big man who can't shoot a free throw but you're dominant, that's the type of guard you need to get you through the fourth quarter so they can't foul on you. His problem to me is that his whole game is a highlight reel. He doesn't score easy. Nothing's just simple. Nothing is just like a Dame Leonard. You just can't just go score. Like you don't need to sit here and bop him and sit here and do like you do too much just to score 23 points. Like that's it. Like you average 25 with LeBron, you're averaging 23 and you're the number one guy. Like you're and when you break down the game and you try to figure out why, it's because everything he does is level 10 offense.
So how does he simplify, so he's 26 years old, how does he simplify that and still be effective?
I don't know. I don't know. Question. But that's why when you look at somebody like Dame and Kemba and all these guys and they're like, who's better? It all depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone that's going to give put the oohs and the ahs in the seats, you're going to go with Kyrie. But if you're going to go someone who's just going to get it done, you're going to go with Dame and Kimba. You know, like if you can look at, you know, what these guys do. So it's like, it's just one of those things is you cannot not pick Kyrie because what he possesses in the fourth quarter. But you're only going to get that elite in the fourth quarter. And that's the frustrating part because it's like, you're supposed to be like Iverson. You can score 50 all you want because no one can technically stop you. You really stop yourself because most of the time you're just dribbling around trying to do up and unders and fade away. Like you just don't go in, make a layup, go in, hit a jumper, like 1-2 dribble. Like you don't have no simple part of scoring in your game.
Well, his assist numbers are up this year. Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, instead of focusing on simplifying his scoring, he should focus on facilitating.
And that's
when you have all that talent around you, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, you have Horford, you have other guys that can score. You shouldn't have to just take over every time.
But that's the problem.
He can.
That's the problem. Yeah, he can pass the ball, but do you really want him passing the ball? That is not his specialty.
Like,
I don't give a shit if he averages 10 assists, I will still boo him. That is not your specialty. Why are you wasting your time doing that? Be aggressive. Do you. Because you doing you gets everybody involved anyway. You know what I mean? You put your block. Like, Tatum is going to get his own. He knows how to score. You know, you got Terry knows how to score. Everybody else fits in. You got Gordon who knows how to score. So you don't need to sit here and try to create shots for these guys. They know how to get it done. You just gotta simplify your game to just score. Just go get a bucket. You don't need to sit here and wait for the oohs and the ahs and that's getting you 23 points a game. When your talent says you're 30, 32, easily.
And what we're getting to is championships here, and like mm-hmm. that's what we want them to learn.
If at 7 point was he averaging 7.7?
This year 7.1.
7.1, I mean, he's on a teeter.
Career high.
I don't care about that. I'm just saying, that doesn't do anything for me when you're talking about winning championships. Like, he's on a teeter at 7.1. I mean, because he's actually a scorer. So when it comes to the championship, that 7.1 goes out of the window and Kyrie takes over. So he has a better chance than someone like a John Wall or a Chris Paul to actually win a championship, or a Westbrook. No matter how talented these guys are, the higher you go up, it says your team is not that good.
So for all the Boston fans panicking or unhappy with things so far this season, you're saying wait till the playoffs and we'll see the real Kyrie?
Yeah, I mean, go to Philly. You got two guards here, but your point guard is Ben Simmons. You know, so that doesn't, you know, your actual point guard is J.J. Redick. So he doesn't touch the ball, just shoot threes and...
Shooting special.
You know, so I would put Philly there. Now go to Milwaukee Bucks. Now their point guard is Eric Bledsoe, mm-hmm. but Bledsoe only averages 5 assists. Their best player, Greek, who always has the ball, mm-hmm. averages 6. So in theory, you would say this team has a chance. Like, so if you started the season off and you looked at the board and you said, all right, let me see who was good last year, you will have Philly, you will have Milwaukee, and you have, you know, Boston up there. Go to Toronto.
We're going right through the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm. Now with Kyle, you got 8.8, right? Mm-hmm. So what does this say? That you 14-8. You're the second best player on the team. So if you're the second best player on the team and you're averaging 8 assists, says that outside of Kawhi Leonard, everyone else can't really create their own shots. So the big man, you got to create that shot for him. You got to create a shot for Danny, Serge Ibaka. So now you got 3 players on the team that has to get the ball from you to be effective. So the chances of them making it to the championship goes down in my book. Because, yeah, you have a dominant player. You can tell, okay, Kawhi doesn't need Kyle. Because I don't...
Kyle helps.
Not really. give the ball Kawhi. Kawhi's going to do the thing. Kawhi
you keep subtracting players, but when you subtract the player, you got
to
add
Kawhi. Some. Kawhi can play point guard. You can get a ball to Kawhi. He's going to do the pick and roll and figure that out. He did it in San Antonio, right? So now you got basically 1.5 players that can actually do their own thing. You still got the rest of the team. So when that team goes against Philly, that team goes against Boston, you don't really have a chance when it comes to star power, because if Kyle Lowry is cut out of the equation, the rest of the team is cut out of the equation. If you say, Kyle Lowry, you know what? I'm going to make Kyle score 30 tonight. That means four players on the team is done. You know, and that's the problem. Like, his 8 assists is jeopardizing. Like, he should be anywhere from, on this team, 20 and 5, 20 and 6. Mm-hmm. That should be his role.
I say, like, that tells you they need
like he
score.
Was when he was with DeRozan. Mm-hmm. That's who.
That Toronto, was the better combination.
That's the
for
better
those two.
No,
you're
I mean,
Kawhi
I think
would
I need think
a player like
I think
Kyle.
I think Kyle is at the point where he feels he needs to step up more than like a point guard, and I think that's the problem, that everyone has this fake theory. That point, you need a point guard to run your team. No, you don't. Like, Greek the Freak is showing you right now, there's no point. Like, he has the ball. Just give me the ball and everyone move on. Like, but with that team, they don't have enough star power to compete when it really counts. Like, you know, they're gonna get knocked off. Because if you shut Greek down, no one else on that team can actually put a bucket in there.
Chris Middleton?
How?
Shooting?
Oh, someone has to pass on the ball. Got it.
You
again.
Got Bledsoe.
Again, you got someone who has to pass on the ball.
We're learning your theory. and you know, you got to look at it from all angles. And speaking of learning, we got to take a break. We've got to talk about Chegg. What is Chegg? Well, as a student in today's world, you're used to being told to do things your own way. They said you'll need this textbook. You said I'll find it cheaper. They gave you strict class times. You said, I'll make my own course hours. They said, we can't help you financially. You said, I'll earn it elsewhere. They play by yesterday's rules. You're today's student. Search for scholarships, get 24/7 study help, and rent textbooks for a fraction of the cost of your bookstore, all in one big education redefining student hub. That's Chegg. Chegg is a leader in online study assistance, whether you need textbook solutions or expert Q&A. There's no better tool to help you ace your class than Chegg. That would have been handy.
That would have been handy if I went to class.
I feel like kids have...
If I went to class.
Well, it starts with going to class. Well, hey, you make your own. Make your own with Chegg. Take today's student. They have everything you need at Chegg to make the most of any study session or breeze through even the toughest of homework problems. Study at home, or on your desktop, or anywhere on the go with the Chegg Study mobile app. You can also save some money. Getting online study assistance should never break the bank. Get more for your money with Chegg Study. So there you go. You could have saved money.
Yeah, I know. I could have. You know,
you're in
books,
different
because books was expensive.
Yeah, so like,
so
why would I go to class?
I felt that once I got my books, if I don't open it, it's not used, I can turn it back brand new.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kids, that's one way to think. We're not recommending that. Yeah, you want to go to Chegg. Subscriptions are affordably priced and can be canceled anytime. Tap into Chegg's massive library of step-by-step textbook solutions, Chegg's searchable database of over 24 million solutions, and expert answers cover subjects as diverse as accounting, biology, calculus, and even mechanical engineering. Mm. I didn't study any of those subjects. I don't know about you.
Yeah, but those we can tell.
Very fair.
We're here.
Stay in your lane. If you're studying for midterms or getting prepped for a final exam or even have difficult homework problems, you can master your class with the Chegg Study app. Learn how to solve your toughest problems with step-by-step textbook solutions, video walkthroughs, and practice sets. If you need help with some tough problems right away, simply use the Chegg Study app to snap a quick picture of the problems not covered in your textbook and submit them instantly to Chegg's experts. Get a response back in as little as 2 hours, just like that. Anytime, anywhere. So guess what? If you're a fan of the No Chill podcast, we're going to help you out. All right? So go to chegg.com/nochill. Get $5 off your first month subscription. That's chegg.com/nochill. Use that promo code, nochill. Remember, it's C-H-E-G-G. We like to offer spelling on this podcast. Save and get smarter. You're going to learn. You're going to be an ace in the classroom and learn about basketball here.
Yes.
The No Chill Podcast and Chegg. So if it's not assist, it's what? What we're getting at.
Scoring.
Okay.
I mean, we just happen to have Curry, Klay Thompson, and KD. The rest of that team, and KD now. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Three guys that can play in and out, that can shoot. But if you had three players on a team that was just strictly Klay, it wouldn't be so successful because those guys, like Klay, like if you take the other two off the table, you got to remember, they have to try to run plays to get Klay open. You got to remember, this ain't the day of Reggie Miller anymore. This ain't the day of, what are the shooters, Craig Hodges and guys that we're sitting here doing down picks and all you can do is shoot a jumper. Now, you got to be able to put the ball on the ground. You got to be able to create your own shot. You got to be able to play one-on-one. So, yeah, it happens that your best player can actually knock down threes, but that's...
But the day of the specialist isn't around.
No, the day of, you know, players like Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick, I mean, as being stars...
They're a dying breed.
They're not a dying breed. They're for certain type of players. Like, Greek the Freak will have to surround himself with players like that.
Where LeBron.
LeBron sits with, you know, just specialists. You know, who else? I mean, Ben Simmons and, you know, you have to keep a JJ ready. You got to figure out, if you have a dominant player that's inside, you got to figure out how to open that space. And that's when specialty players come in.
That's the thing for Philly. They're not relying on Ben to be a shooter. Because they put guys around him, mm-hmm. like Tobias Harris, yeah. like you said, with JJ or Jimmy. Like, those guys can score for him. So
that's the same thing with, we got to remember, that's the same thing with LeBron. When, you know, LeBron was, you know, the players around him were the specialty shooters. Yeah, he made three-pointers, but he's getting to the basket. And the only reason he can get to the basket is because the lane is open up. Because you got all these special, Dame Jones, you got James Jones sitting there, you got Booby Gibson, Damon Jones, you got all these, Ray Allen, you know, you got, think about that team. You got Ray Allen, you had Chalmers, you had Mike Miller. I mean, also Dame Jones, mm-hmm. like James Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, you got your specialties guy. So when he decides to drive, you're sitting there like, I don't know if I'm going to leave right now. That's the same thing that made Steve Nash amazing. You know, you have Stoudemire, but the rest of your team is all pure shooters. Yet, four players in the top 10 with percentage. You can't do anything with that team. You know, so the day of the three, just sitting there chucking threes, yes.
But do you think your bigs have to be able to knock down threes?
Come again?
Your bigs, like stretch fours. Stretch. When you're building your team, GM Gilbert Arenas, are you looking for a stretch four?
I would love a stretch four if I have a back-to-the-basket five. Like Anthony Davis and Cousins. I don't know how Pelicans let Cousins go. That, like, I bet if I said this theory before, because you had Drew Holiday, you didn't need Rondo. You bring in two more, you bring in another shooter and another scorer, you have a team. Because you got two big dominant players, you got your go-to guy in Holiday, and then you have a defensive player and someone who can open the floor up more. You have a team. Like, that's what – like, I don't know who the GM is, but I'm pretty sure.
It was Dell Demps.
But I'm just pretty no sure he doesn't there. Study.
Well, it was also that injury.
But that's the problem.
That it's a great what if.
I don't think that your GMs today actually study what is what.
Well, what are you saying? What is what?
Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at it like, okay, like, I wouldn't have, like, if I didn't do this study, I wouldn't have a reason to, like, I'm sitting here like, okay, I need this guy. That's what I'm saying. Patrick Beverley, in my theory, is more productive to the Houston Rockets than Chris Paul is. And you just bring in another guy who can score. You know, because your point guard, Because you got to remember, once Chris Paul gets it, he's not like he wants to score. He's going to dribble, 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 and then make a pass to someone sitting in the corner. I mean, it's like the less tigers you have that's sitting in cages being, you know, fed, you know, they're not really that aggressive.
They're not going to attack.
Yeah, they're not really that. They're not really aggressive. They're not like a wild tiger who has to fend for himself.
Well, I think you're talking about, we were looking at the East, so guys like Giannis, guys like Kawhi, you need a secondary scorer. You have your go-to guy, mm-hmm. but you need the guy that can fill it. So I think Middleton is a great secondary scorer. I would make him your 1A guy.
But he's a secondary scorer he's a secondary scorer, but he's an outside Premier League player. Like, he just wants to shoot jumpers. He doesn't create his own shots. It's not like Greek passes to him and then he gets busy with it. That's not how he works. So he's sitting there waiting for someone to set him up too.
But that's the perfect guy to surround Giannis with.
Yeah, but then you got to get rid of a player like Bledsoe. I mean, you can have Bledsoe.
I think Bledsoe's perfect.
You
for
can
him.
Have Bledsoe. Like, Bledsoe's perfect in a sense where you have a defender, a guy who gets into it. He doesn't need to play the point. But you would still want. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at, you know, keeping Bledsoe for that team because he is what he is. But if you can find somebody who can do the same thing but hit the open shot when he needs to, then yeah. But,
well, 'cause I think
as a point guard on that team, he plays his perfect role. I just score when I need to. And
yeah, energy guy that you know can finish, he can knock down shots. Because I think if you look at Devin Booker, it's mm-hmm. like, man, if he only had some help. That's the scenario that you hate to see guys get into.
But like a player like him, you will put him with, like, that would have been great for the Pelicans if they had Cousins still.
Of course, yeah.
But you put him with the Greek.
Two superstar players. Yeah.
You have a different team. You put him with.
No, I think you're right. I think with New Orleans, that's the perfect, or like get AD to Phoenix. That's that perfect combination.
No, because AD to Phoenix is just AD and Phoenix. We got Drew Holiday also.
AD with Booker.
Yeah, but you don't have Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is a specialty player. You know, that's what he's good at, creating shots in half court. Like, if you looked at when they were rolling with Cousins on the team, they're rolling because Holiday is killing everybody in the fourth quarter. Because everyone's so focused, because everyone thinks that your star player is the go-to guy. Like, no, he's the star player. He's not the go-to guy. Like, Kevin Garnett, he's the star player. When he really elevated his game and the Timberwolves went to the next level, it was because of Sam Cassell. Mm-hmm. Sam Cassell came in and said, hey, wait a minute. Hey, nope. We're going to give it to you the first three quarters. Do your thing. Fourth quarter, this is me. This is what I do. That was the only time Sam Cassell at 30-something makes an all-star game, averaging 20. Because I'm the last 5 minutes, baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all can sit there and pay attention to Kevin Garnett all you want, but I'm gonna light that ass up.
I'm going to knock down shots.
You know who was a bad – I don't think it was a bad trade, but if they knew this information, you already have Dame and McCullough, right, scoring. Mm-hmm. If you keep Aldridge with the rest of the team you have now, woo.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I mean, Western Conference Finals every year, but
they didn't want to pay him. Now they do.
Because you didn't know the theory.
Now they do. I don't know at that point.
It's too late now.
Yeah. I don't know. He's talking about he wants to go. He'd go back.
For what?
For exactly what you're talking about. They caught on to the theory. It's not too late.
It's too late.
Why?
You're not.
Dame's still in his prime. McCollum's in his prime.
He's not.
He's not, right?
But that's what I'm saying. So why am I going to pay him to bring him in when you're not in your prime? So I'm going to waste 3-4 years of Dame and McCullough's prime for you to come. No, that's not. No. Like, you try to get Anthony Davis, or you try to see how Cousins look, you know, and try to go after a Cousins. Like, that's you get a younger big man that can really. Mm-hmm. You
know. Yeah, if healthy. I mean, I think that's a great place for him. We want to see Dame have help. We want to see them get better.
Yeah. But I mean, they had a team that is just that some GMs just can't wait. They gotta they gotta sit there.
I was looking for the next best thing.
Best thing that does nothing. Yeah. You know, that's what I said. Most of these GMs don't know what they're looking at. You know, they just don't know what they're looking at. They don't know how to build a team around players. Like Washington, my team. Mm-hmm. Right now, you have a big dilemma. And the dilemma is John Wall and Beal, right? John Wall is a 20 and 10 guy. Beal is a natural scorer. So what you end up having is you have a clash between two guys, and that clash is, well, John, I don't need you to, you know, I don't need you to try to set me up and call my, just give me the ball, let me do what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to, but John, I make assists. He's more like the Chris Paul, a 20 and 10 guy. You know, so they can turn into either one. But then you have one guy who's a scorer, like James Harden is to Chris Paul. That's who Beal is to John Wall. But John Wall right now doesn't know that you actually have to take a back seat in passing and trying to dominate the ball because of Beal is an actual scorer. You know, so you have – that's what I said. There's – you just – you got to know how to manipulate your team for success. Like, people think you can just bring these players in and say, woo, yeah, these names, like Lakers.
I'll tell you what, because on paper – it looks good sometimes, yeah, like, right? Like, but, on paper, that Laker team you're talking about with Steve Nash and Kobe and Dwight, like, oh, we got all these stars. Yeah. Oh, no, we're going to dominate. And that's what L.A. was certainly excited about. And, you know, besides the injuries, it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Like, same
there's
thing.
A lot of factors. Chemistry, style of play.
It's just
personality,
it's more,
egos.
It's no, egos, not necessarily egos, because if you would have looked at Miami's team with Gary Payton, this and that, like – I mean, you had Eagles on that team, but they didn't clash. Mm-hmm. Once you get on the court, you know, you're alpha males. Hey, put this. You got Shaq. You got Dwayne Young. And they're going to figure that out. Mm-hmm. It's style of play. Like, you know, when I first said to – when Melo was looking for a place, and they're like, oh, Houston. And I was like, no, that doesn't even make basketball sense. Like, yeah, it looks great on paper that – you have a three-point shooter, but you have a guy who also is a rhythm player. And that rhythm player needs touches. That rhythm player needs space. That rhythm player needs dribbling. Well, how are you going to do that when you have James Harden who dribbles and shoots? Then he gives to Chris Paul who dribbles and pass or dribbles and shoots. Then you're the third option. There's not enough time for you to do anything you're doing. So you're just going to be this catch-and-shoot guy. That's not the place for you. The Lakers was the place for you. Where, yeah, you might not have started at the beginning. I mean, because, you know, they want to play the young guys. But at the end of the day, as a coach, you want to win, you know? So you would have been playing in the fourth quarter, and the ball in the half court would have been you. That was the Lakers' problem, that they didn't have a go-to guy in the last 5 minutes. Like, LeBron, that's not his specialty. He's a one-through-third player, get everybody involved, score when he has to. But in the last 4 or 5 minutes, you have to have a guy who can create his own shot. And that's where Melo would have been perfect for LeBron.
And the other thing is trust. A player like LeBron, you need a guy that you can defer to, that you trust.
You can trust, right. That can hit buckets. So
I don't think he had that in any.
No, but
else
now you
got
to try to force Ingram to hurry up and mm-hmm. develop faster than he needs to. Like, you know, people put so much pressure on Ingram. That he's 21. Mm-hmm. like, think about Kobe at 21. Like, let the young fella like build his confidence up. Like, so you have him, then you got him trying to be the finisher. Then you had Kuz trying to be the finisher. He's a second year player. You know, Zoe, that's not nothing he does. You know, so Rondo, that ain't what he does, but he's great in the fourth quarter because he knows what to do, but you have no finisher.
They relied on LeBron.
Yeah, but I mean, but LeBron.
You're saying that's not his strength.
But that's not his strength. That's not what he wants to do. He's not the Kobe. He's not trying to kill you at the end. Like, you got to remember, Kobe and Shaq, who's fighting in the last 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, Kobe's like, I'm not passing it. This is going to foul you. You're going to sit on the free throw line. You're going to miss the free throw. And then now we're back on defense. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know? So you had a team that didn't have what they needed in the last 5 minutes. And that's why I was like, Melo should have went there, and the Laker team would have been a whole different team. Like, I thought that – you remember when I thought – I looked at their team, you know, it was big. You know, you had Lance Stephenson, LeBron, Kuz, Ingram.
Yeah, a lot of length and defensively.
Ingram
and
what's his name?
JaVale. Tyson Chandler.
That's your five. That's mm-hmm. your five. You don't need a point guard. LeBron's your point mm-hmm. guard. Like, why we never seen that lineup? Like, LeBron's your point. Let Lance Stephenson create his own shot in the half court. I mean, with Lance, you're getting a one for one, one great amazing play, one bad fuck up play. But in the
take
last
that fifth, that coin flip. Yeah.
But you take the coin flip with the team you have. But you never seen that lineup because they figure they need to run offense. Like it's just, it's, you know, there's a lot to it. Like wish I could take my brain and give it to them so they can see what basketball really looks like. I studied the game so much growing up to figure out what's what. Why does this person win versus this person? And I remember when Rondo told Chris Paul, you would never win a championship. I'm like, why would you say that? And then, you know, you start looking year after year, Chris Paul, and then you start looking at the teams like, well, Chris Paul's teams never really, they were show ponies. They look great from the outside, never under the hood good. You know, David West is your second best player. Like, that's not a championship.
No wing. That's the Clippers never had wing
But as
talent.
I said, that not now when the Clipper team on paper, woo, you got an exciting team. Well,
but they never had a shot creator, a three player.
No, they did.
Who?
Paul Pierce? Jamal Crawford.
Oh.
See, so Jamal plays in a fourth quarter.
They brought in Paul Pierce, but it was like, man, you got him way too late in the game. Grant Hill way too late in the game.
Yeah, but that's what I said. You have Jamal Crawford, who's your number one go-to guy when it comes to making shots.
And they had Redick.
Right? Redick can't create his own shots. Yeah. So when you wanted to do a 1-4 flat or say, hey, we need Jamal to get a bucket, Crawford. You go to Jamal Crawford. When someone should have set Blake down that whole summer and say, listen, we need you. You and DJ are probably arguably has the best jumping ability in NBA history on the same team. Mm-hmm. Like you don't get this type of athleticism and height on the same team. We have it here. Blake, I don't want you at the three-point line. Like, if you're shooting threes and you're doing this dribbling step back as a big man, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not getting fucking dunked on. I'm not getting in foul trouble because you're sitting there like, I remember watching Tim Duncan have 5 fouls at the beginning of the fourth and didn't foul out. Because Blake is shooting jumpers the whole goddamn game. Like, if Blake puts his back to the basket, you're forced to double. If you're forced to double, that means J.J. Redick looks amazing. That means DJ looks amazing now. But now, because they're waiting for Chris Paul to create this thing, now they're sitting at three-point line like they're track stars running in for alley-oop dunks the whole time. On paper, you look great. Under the hood, horrible. You got a horrible team.
Or you come up short in the playoffs.
But because you got a horrible team. Because when it counts, you can't
create
your
team. Because when you built the team, you didn't think of that.
You built it for looks.
It was fun.
It looked great. It looked great.
But then we get to crunch time in the playoffs. That's what it's all about.
Now you got somebody like, and you wonder why Memphis was beating them all the time. Because you have the defensive player, Tony Allen, picking Chris Paul up full court. Picking him up full court. Mm-hmm. Getting him tired. Now Chris Paul has to create all this offense for everyone else. Then you got Conley sitting there running him through pick and rolls. In the fourth quarter, Chris Paul ain't got nothing for you. Now when you sit there and give it to Blake or they don't know what to do. Like, nah, we waiting for the gatekeeper to defeat us. We don't want to hunt.
It's got
to
go through him.
Yeah, we got to go through. We want to go through Chris Paul so we can get the little highlight dunks and this and this. And that's what ends up happening. That you run Chris Paul dry, pick him up full court, run him through pick and rolls, and he don't have the energy to play 4, 5, 7 games at that great pace. So this year is kind of interesting. I want to see what happens with them because they're jumping into a theory that, you know, it's like, I want to see what happens because you got your score. As a point guard, you do defer as a point guard. You're not averaging 10, 15 like you can, and you're deferring. So I want to see, like, you know, that's one team. I want to see what happens. Like, I wouldn't put no money on them because my theory, but I just still want to see what happens. I still want to see what happens.
It's like you're sipping your tea.
Yeah, I just want to, I'm interested.
It's going to be good. You know. Yeah, and we'll learn. We'll find out.
But in the East.
And we have your theory, and we'll find out if this supports your theory.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's supported for 28 years.
Yeah. 28 years of evidence.
28 years. So, like, 28 years, if I had to pick up one of those two point guards and I see one guy's averaging 10 assists.
Okay, so if this works and next year you're an NBA GM, we'll know why. Started here.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yep. All right.
Like, you know what's so funny? Like, with the Lakers, you know, they don't have an assistant GM right now. So you got Magic and
Palenka. You put your application out there?
You got Magic and Palenka. And, I mean, you have this summer, who's up? You can give, what's the name, an extension? Ingram. As a GM, if I'm GM, I'm not giving him extension. Like, his extension is, you know, 130, 140, you know. I personally wouldn't give it to him, not because he's not talented. I'm keeping him for damn sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying him because I don't need to pay him right now. I can use that money to grab one of these other players and then pay Ingram next summer. You know, yeah, it might cost me more because we'll be winning. He can possibly be an all-star or whatever, you know, averaging 22, 23. Yeah, he might cost me 180, but I'm the Lakers. I print money.
Sure. If you're winning, then you'll
you know, you're the Lakers, you're printing money, but I wouldn't sign him right now because I need that money to go get three or four other players.
Well, guess what? They're going to have a high draft pick. Could be John Morant. Could be RJ Barrett.
If LeBron has any say so, he'd probably go after RJ.
Okay.
It depends on what they're going to do with Zoe. It depends if, mm-hmm. you know, you're keeping Zoe or you're trading Zoe. But, I mean, at this point, like, Zoe and LeBron, unless Zoe says, you know what, I'm a two-man, I'm going to work on my two-man skills, in the fourth quarter, you're dead weight. You're dead weight because you're not a – he needs someone who can just go get baskets. He doesn't need a point guard. He doesn't need to dribble and create the team collapse. Mm-hmm. He's passing you, and you sitting there dribbling and trying to pass it to Kuzma or Ingram. You know.
Well, fixing the Lakers, I feel like, is its own episode. Maybe it could be. We can get into that another day.
You just got to know what the fuck you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You got to know what you're looking
at. That's GM Arenas.
Oh, you got to know what you look like. Josh, was it Josh Hart? Mm-hmm. Him and LeBron would have been better together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
One guy's a shooter scorer. That's just do you. Just go out there.
We'll find out next season.
Yeah. This summer.
This summer.
This summer.
All right.